at the end of the call. This can be done by pressing star one on your telephone keypad to register your question. If you require assistance at any point, please press star zero and you will be connected to an operator. I will now hand you over to your host, Lucie Larguier, Head of Investor Relations, to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Thank you, and hello, everyone. So I have the pleasure today to introduce you to Dr. Alessandro Riva, who's just been appointed Chairman and CEO of Transgene. Along with Hedi Ben Brahim, we will review today's news and answer your questions. So before I turn the call over to Alessandro Riva, I'd like to remind everyone that today's discussion contains forward-looking statements which are subject to numerous risks and uncertainties. If you're listening to this webcast via the internet, you will not be able to ask questions. If you wish to ask questions, please make sure that you join us via one of the conference call numbers that are available in today's press release. With this, I now turn the call over to Alessandro Riva.
Thank you, Lucie, and good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining today's call. I'm sure that you have seen the news today, and I would like to provide some additional background, and more importantly, I will be available to answer your question. As you have seen, I will be joining Transgene as the Chairman and CEO effective June the 1st. I've been the company chairman for over a year now, and I believe that the company is today ideally positioned to go to the next level. I would like to start by giving you some personal background, as this is the first time I have participated in one of these calls for Transgene. I spent all my career in the oncology space after graduating from medical school and practicing oncology at the University Hospital of Milan. I joined the pharmaceutical industry. At Novartis, I was global head of oncology development and medical affairs, a position where we successfully brought several compounds to patients. At Gilead, I was the head of oncology therapeutics, where I was in charge of advancing Yescarta, a CAR-T19, resulting in his approval in both the United States and Europe. In both cases, this consisted in putting in place the right clinical trials in the right patient population with the right clinicians, and of course, with the right treatment. More recently, I was a CEO of two biotechnology companies based in the United States of America, where we were developing a bispecific and trispecific and cell therapy in oncology. As a team at Transgene, we are confident today that we are in a particular juncture of our organization ready to move to the next level. This confidence is based on the very promising data that is delivered from its immunotherapy portfolio over the last 12 months. And I would like to thank Hedi Ben Brahim for his contribution to this achievement by ensuring that Transgene was able to execute in a timely manner and deliver on his strategy. We have a strong therapeutic vaccine franchise based on our core viral vector expertise and two exciting and complementary approaches, namely neoantigen and shared tumor antigens. For these two assets, respectively TG4050 and TG4001, we are at a critical point in the development of these two exciting new therapies for solid tumor that could translate into potential registrational trials. We also believe that we have a very strong and differentiated oncolytic virus pipeline based on our INVIR-IO platform. These novel drug candidates are generating using our patent viral vector backbone that has a key competitive advantage in that it can be administered intravenously. When given IV, the oncolytic virus is safe and goes to the tumor, where it selectively replicates while expressing its therapeutic payload. Intravenous administration, as you know, will significantly increase the utility of oncolytic viruses and the number of patients that could benefit from this new approach. TG6050, our intravenous oncolytic virus expressing interleukin-12 and anti-CTLA-4 antibody, is already in clinical development in advanced non-small cell lung cancer. As our leading intravenous candidate, it represents a unique opportunity to demonstrate the potential of our oncolytic virus platform. Our confidence in the potential of our oncolytic viruses has not been diminished by AstraZeneca's unexpected decision to terminate our research collaboration. As part of AstraZeneca portfolio review, AstraZeneca decided to return all rights to the product they in-licensed and other highly innovative pipeline assets to Transgene. AstraZeneca has obtained a US IND for one of these candidates. AstraZeneca has also confirmed that we will be able to share the results of our collaboration via scientific publication or poster presentation. Given that we were only informed by AstraZeneca of their decision very recently, we are still assessing the best way forward with the return product and the other assets that we have regained. We will come back to you on our plans for this asset at a later date. This decision has limited impact on Transgene financial guidance, and we continue to have financial visibility until early 2024. To wrap up, I would like to confirm that Transgene's strategy is unchanged, with a clear focus on TG4050, our neoantigen cancer vaccine, TG4001, our HPV-positive cancer therapeutic vaccine, and TG6050, our oncolytic virus expressing interleukin-12 and anti-CTL4 antibody, with the aim of implementing potential registrational trials for our therapeutic vaccine. We are fully committed as a team to successfully delivering on this goal, and I'm looking forward to working with the highly talented and committed team at Transgene. We have two posters accepted at ASCO on TG4050 and TG4001, and we intend to communicate after the abstract are available on the evening of May 25th. In the next 12 to 18 months, we expect to announce a number of important milestones that demonstrate that we are delivering on our plans that are intended to create significant value for patients and also for our stakeholders. With this, I would like to take any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your question, please press star 2. Just to remind you to press to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. We currently have no question coming through, so as a final reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 now.
What I have received questions by email, this is Lucy, so I will share them with you and we'll answer them also. So these are questions received from Jamila El Bouhini at Invest Securities. So two questions, first on the transition and second on the end of the collaboration with AstraZeneca. So on the first aspect, the question is, why this choice, the choice of this transition now, when it could have maybe better understood by the market if it had occurred a few months within the launch of a first pivotal study? So we do the rationale of giving a more US-oriented orientation with the leadership having regulatory and marketing experience is completely understandable, but wouldn't the transition have been more obvious with at least one clinical pivotal study underway? Is there also a desire to give Transgene's work more international visibility, in particular regarding investors who are shareholders in competing companies in the personalized vaccine field and who have a good reputation, or messenger RNA, for instance? And also, how do you, from an HR point of view, how do you anticipate the possible challenges in terms of corporate culture and multiculturalism with a US versus France approach?
No, perhaps I just would like to, first of all, to say that, you know, I'm a European, you know, based in the United States of America, and that, you know, I worked for many years in Europe, and namely in France, at Rompolencarolle Avantis, before Avantis became Sanofi. So I think I'm very familiar with the European French culture and the way, you know, we operate in Europe and in France. And of course, you know, because of my experience in the United States of America, I also have this side, you know, on my background, that I think is important also to create a culture that is international, very diversified, which ultimately, you know, will serve, you know, the purpose of developing, you know, new agents for cancer patients. So that's number one. Number two, transgene, or transgene in English, perhaps, you know, has been, I've said since the beginning, an international company, right? So, and as we speak, we perform international trials, and centers are not only in France, but also in Europe, and we are approaching also the United States of America. So I don't see any problem from a, you know, from a cultural perspective, and in terms of the timelines, I guess this was the first question, you know, of the decision on the change of the leadership team, of the leadership. What I would say that the board of Transgene felt that it is important, you know, to have a change in the leadership. Now, because Transgene is in a particular juncture of the journey, where you know, the company has really to take the challenge of the competition and has to accelerate significantly the development of the compound. Therefore, the board felt that you know, the company needed a leader with, I would say, a more comprehensive experience in drug development, in bringing compounds to patients, in assessing the strategic rationale also of our portfolio, and therefore to prepare the organization to the next level. So that's essentially the rationale that the board discussed and based on that, they made the decision. I guess perhaps these were the three questions. There was another one?
There was another one on international visibility, but I think you covered it already.
Yeah.
Second aspect was on the end of collaboration with AstraZeneca. So AZ launched projects with several players on the IL-12 target, several of which were aborted. To your knowledge, are there still ongoing projects around this IL-12 target in AZ's preclinical clinical pipeline? And if so, what type of approach? Another point, is licensing this OV for which you regained the rights to another industrial company one of the options considered?
So, I mean, the first question, of course, cannot be answered for the simple reason we cannot speculate on what AstraZeneca is doing as we speak. You know, we don't have access to this information. And the second answer, the second question, I would say that this is an opportunity, right? So we will reassess internally, you know, the assets that that have been returned by AstraZeneca, and we'll put those assets in the context of our oncolytic virus pipeline, and we will determine whether A, we want to keep in-house, B, whether we have we would like to offer, you know, the possibility to out-license those compounds or others, because our pipeline in the oncolytic viruses is very comprehensive to other companies. So this is something that we'll keep you updated about, right? But certainly it is a possibility that we will consider.
I received another question by email, but is there questions in the room? Not so far. So a question from Arnaud Benoit Vidal from Financière de l'Arc. Why don't you split the CEO and chairman position as it was a good governance practice?
So, I mean, the board, as I said, decided to make a change in the leadership and in the CEO position for the reason just mentioned, and in that context, they assessed my candidacy as current chairman of the board. And therefore they felt that the synergy between the two roles, the chairman of the board and the CEO, was a good thing to have at this juncture of transition. So that's the reason why essentially the board decided to recombine the two roles together and to give these two roles to me. Right. So, of course, the board will continue to monitor the governance on a regular basis and will make sure that we have everything that guarantees the independence of our board, including, of course, the assessment of the performance of the CEO. So, and of course, we will keep you updated on this matter.
I have no question on my end. I think there's one from Brendan Forks. Ben?
Indeed, we have one question here coming from Brendan Forks, calling from Cantor Fitzgerald. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. Maybe just one from me, and I apologize if this has been addressed, as I have been hopping between a few calls. So do you get the work back from AstraZeneca that they've done on oncolytic viruses? And if so, will that trigger perhaps a review of sort of your priorities within oncolytic viruses? And would you ever take the work AstraZeneca has done and maybe develop it in-house if you saw value yourself? Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for the question. The answer is yes and yes, right? So, yes, we are going to have all rights and data back from AstraZeneca, including the fact that they already submitted an IND to the Food and Drug Administration. They have the approval from the FDA, and also everything that they've done, in the context of the collaboration. So, so we are going to regain everything, right? So, and we are going to reassess internally, the next step, on this portfolio coming back from AstraZeneca, including, of course, our own portfolio, and we'll set up priorities very soon, and we'll communicate to you, in a timely manner.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There are no further questions, so I will hand you back to your host to conclude today's conference.
Okay. So I would like to thank everyone for the question. Lucy, the team, and I remain available to answer further questions down the road. I look forward to meeting with you in person in my new role, where I am focused on taking Transgene to the next level. We wish you a very good weekend and talk to you soon. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for joining today's call. You might now disconnect.